Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 10th of September, 2013. Hope you're having a good day. We are live here on KVOI, AM 1030, Tucson's Intelligent Voice. We do this each weekday, 12:04 to 1. We are with you during the noon hour and hope that you can hear the program, even if it's a portion of the program while you're out and about. And if you'd like to hear the whole program in its entirety, we have it available on a podcast for you at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. So there are three sites for you to hear the podcast. And of course, we are live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We'll get things rolling with University of Arizona Professor Emeritus of Communication, Dr. Dale Kunkel. Dr. Kunkel is going to be discussing with me whether apps are appropriate for babies. 20 minutes past the hour, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley, who is already in the other studio getting ready, just gave me a thumbs up, and that means pretty good day on the market. 30 minutes past the hour, the Catalina Foothills School District will be asking voters to extend a pair of budget overrides in November as a way to prevent staff and program cuts. We will speak with the superintendent of that district. Then we'll close out the show with our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report, which is presented by Fox Tucson Theater. If you have a question or comment, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to follow us on our active Facebook page, now over 2,800 friends of the show, and we would welcome you into the fold. It's very easy to find us, Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Recently, Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood filed Federal Trade Commission complaints against two leading developers of apps for babies. Both Fisher-Price and Open Solution claim their apps teach babies language and math skills, but cite no research to back up these claims. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, with me in studio, Dr. Dale Kunkel, Professor Emeritus of Communication at the University of Arizona, where he studies children and media issues and examines the effects of TV violence, sexual content, and advertising on young people. Dr. Kunkel is a former Congressional Science Fellow. He has testified as an expert witness on children's media topics at numerous congressional hearings. Dr. Kunkel, good to see you again.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Is there any credible research, Dr. Kunkel, that any form of so-called screen media is an effective tool for teaching children, babies, children 2 years and under?
For babies, no. For children, yes. So the question is, at what point do we reach that transition mark? It's about 2 years of age. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics has a blanket recommendation that all pediatricians across the country are supposed to share with the parents, and that is no screen time. That's television, tablets, computers, no screen time at all for children under age two. The reason for that is that they're really it's not possible, based on a baby's limited cognitive development, for them to gain much of anything positive out of that interaction with the media. And there's lots of potential for negative exposure to either violent behaviors, to advertising for junk food products that are going to mislead the child into what's healthy to eat and so forth. And so it's if you're talking about something for an elementary school age child, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, there are possibilities. That doesn't mean everything that you buy as an app is educational, but they have that capability. What the focus of this complaint you're referencing here is that there are companies that are claiming that infants up to below age two, 12 to 18 months, can benefit from parents and grandparents buying them these computer apps, tablet apps, and we know very clearly they cannot.
What are some of the claims that they are making specifically?
Well, I've got one here from Fisher-Price. They claim that one of their apps for babies as young as 6 months, quote, teaches numbers and counting 1 to 10, animal identification, first words, and action-reaction learning. Well, if they're saying it teaches that. Well, if teaching implies learning and the child is so young at that age range that they can't learn, there's absolutely no evidence of any learning for these infants, then that is potentially a false and deceptive claim, and that's the claim that's filed by this advocacy organization. They're trying to get the Federal Trade Commission to act to enforce that restriction.
Dr. Kunkel, it's understandable that parents want their infant, their young children, to do as well as possible in their learning arena, and they want to maybe get a head start on their schooling. So parents seem to be vulnerable then to these claims.
Absolutely. And I really think companies like this are preying on that love and that support that parents and grandparents want to give to their children. And that's why I think it's particularly pernicious. We want to do everything we can to use media to provide a great learning environment for kids. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to trick people, adults and parents and so forth, into thinking that a product is going to have some value for a child when it's not. In fact, the worry is that exposure by young children to electronic media at a very early age actually teaches them wrong lessons. Let me explain. A child in the infant months learns that they can scream or cry and they can affect their environment and get people to pay attention and respond and comfort them. But if a child screams or yells at the tablet or the screen and nothing happens, then the lesson that the infant takes from that interaction is, oh, well, my voice or, you know, my needs aren't being communicated effectively, so I guess maybe I shouldn't communicate. Now, I'm kind of exaggerating here because this happens. This learning occurs over hundreds or thousands of these interactions. But every time – imagine what it would be like if every time an infant was with an adult and they cried for help and they were completely ignored. Well, that baby's going to learn crying doesn't help me. Well, you see, when you do that with the media in those very early months, then that lack of feedback, that lack of response is something that goes into their brain, says this doesn't work. It kind of confuses them. So there's nothing beneficial happening from these baby apps. In fact, there was another one that was called Baby Einstein that was put out by Disney. And to avoid legal action by the Federal Trade Commission, Disney offered to issue refunds to every purchaser, no questions asked. That was about a year ago. So it's quite clear the direction that this whole area is heading. We've got to get the companies to stop making these claims and really exploiting parents and their children.
We're speaking with Dr. Dale Kunkel, Professor Emeritus of Communication at the University of Arizona. He studies these issues concerning children and media issues. The media producers who cannot substantiate these educational claims, Dr. Kunkel, are they in effect then violating existing consumer protection laws?
As I understand the laws, yes. I mean, obviously, I'm not an attorney, and I can't make a final legal judgment. But it seems to me that if Disney is offering everyone that bought their product over the last few years with this Baby Einstein app, if they're offering that, it seems to me that's what they are understanding. And the way I understand the law, if you're claiming that infants can learn and there's no evidence to support those claims, to me, that's false and deceptive advertising.
Let's move on beyond the age of two when we get into young the kids perhaps going into the kindergarten and the first grade, second grade area. Is there research that substantiates apps as an educational tool for these younger people?
Yes, there is. They can learn vocabulary. They can learn numbers and so forth at these early ages. But you know, you have to be cautious. Just because we say they can learn, that doesn't mean that all of the apps that are out on the market are very educational. I mean, just imagine 100 years ago we were having this conversation and we were saying, is there evidence that 5-year-olds can learn from books? And you'd say, well, yes, there is evidence, but they're not going to get much out of The Brothers Karamazov. It has to be very age appropriate. So there have to be tactics and educational strategies that are employed. And some companies are sound. They have good educational advisors and they put together good materials. Others don't. And I think the difficulty is sorting the wheat from the chaff.
What advice then would you give now to our listeners who have children that are considering an app?
I would suggest that you go online and look at reviews on educational blogs, that you look for nonprofit advocacy organizations that review these products. One good one I would recommend is called Common Sense Media. So Common Sense Media has a website. They review films, television programs, and computer apps. And they have them rated, and then you can actually respond to those ratings. And that's going to give you probably the best sense. You're going to get a little bit of expert opinion. You're also going to get some feedback from the masses in terms of people who might agree or disagree with those, and then draw your own judgments.
Generally, has the proliferation of media aimed at children lessened at all, or is it more widespread? And I know you've been studying this issue for many years.
Well, the number of media to which children are exposed is just unprecedented. And the thing that probably makes me the saddest is that we keep exposing children at earlier and earlier ages. So in the past, you know, when we had print, then the age of literacy, the age at which a child developed the ability to read, was a little bit of a barrier or a hurdle from keeping children from being exposed to media too early. Well, TV really changed that. And TV had children watching very early, maybe by 5, 4, when Sesame Street came along, even 2 and 3. But now with this focus on apps and starting them at 6 months, that's really exploitative because the child doesn't gain anything from that.
Dr. Kunkel, thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Dale Kunkel, Professor Emeritus of Communication at the University of Arizona, where he studies children and media issues. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shell's got a big smile on his face. We'll find out, well, how high is the market going today? We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Want the best care for your companion animal? then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, a week ago is my first day back after vacation, and because we took Labor Day off, we were interviewing Zach Guido, who does the climate, you know, show.
Right.
He does a thing for the U of A. He's a climate scientist. And I was saying, Zach, it looks like and feels like to me that the monsoon is history. So trying to outguess Mother Nature, we must have had 2 inches last night, part of the driveway washed away. Biggest rain probably we've had in about 5 years.
It was great rain last night. We needed it. We got some yesterday morning as well in Midtown, area town. It was finally.
Yeah,
you know,
that we waited a long time for this one.
Yeah,
I'm telling
and it's just nice to know that it's still there.
And it is nice to know that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is showing some northern movement.
So that you can replace those sections of your driveway that washed away.
There you go. There you go, Shelley. No, things looking better. We're over 15,000 again.
Over 15,000. Closed over 15,000 yesterday, and now we're up about 110 points today. Of course, you know, when the threat of war eases a little bit.
Which it has, apparently.
That's good. I think we've gotten some very encouraging statistics from a lot of places. China, you know, always a little suspicious about what we get out of China, but, you know, normally the direction is at least reliable. We've gotten some very nice movement in other emerging markets. Brazil, finally, again. Thank you. The European markets have been doing well. European economies are doing better than they were predicted to be doing. And the U.S. economy continues to do what at least the high end of what's been forecasted for it, and in some cases above that.
Well, Shelley, some people decided when the market went south in the fall of 2007, 2008, that they would get out of the market, and they really haven't returned yet. Is it time for those people now to take a hard look at the market?
Well, theoretically, if you go by the textbooks, they should never have left the markets, because when you leave when the markets are on the downswing and then come back when they're on the upswing, that's the definition. It's called chasing the curve, and it's the definition of why we as a portfolios in the U.S. do about a third to 25% to 33% of what the market does. In other words, the average portfolio for the past 20 years has done about 3%. The market for the past 20 years has done about 12%. So, and the reason for that is chasing the curve. But to get to your specific question, if you're still sitting on the sidelines waiting for interest rates to go up so that you can get some returns from your savings account or you know, CD, then you have been, despite the fact that we have very little inflation, you're still behind inflation. And so my sense, and just from reading some statistics, is that money is returning into the market. It's reluctant. It's very conservative, but it's coming in. The recent downward movement in bonds and bond funds over the past 2.5-3 months, I think has frightened people. And so they're looking at the equity markets. I mean, yeah, we're down from our highs this year, but we're still up now about 15% for the year in equities. That, you know, that at some point people say, I got to get back in, especially younger folks. You know, if you're in your 60s or 70s and you can't live through a downswing, then getting back into equities is a very risky proposition. But if you're an average investor in your 30s or 40s or early 50s and you've been sitting on the sidelines, you have to take a look at how to make your money grow. Otherwise, you know, you're just not going to participate in this economy.
What are some of your options for paying for investment services?
Oh, gosh. That's a great question, Bill. There's lots of ways to pay for investment services. One way you can pay is simply pay a brokerage fee. So you pay for every purchase that you make. That is normally between 1% and 2% of the trade. And typically there are no other fees associated with brokerage accounts.
Those are front end.
They're front end. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. You pay for the buys, you pay for the sales. Another way is to pay an annual fee. Especially if you're going to be trading a bunch, just negotiate with your advisor what a good annual fee is, a reasonable annual fee. And that's, you know, going to be in the area of 0.75%, 1%, 1.25%, depending upon the size of the account. The higher the size of the account, the lower the annual fee as a percentage. And that sets up a kind of a motivation for you to make money and for your advisor to want to make you money, because guess what? The advisor makes money when you make money.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some other ways to invest in products that you think you're not paying a fee for, but you actually are. And products like annuities of all flavors, the advisor's fee comes out of the annuity. It's paid by the annuity or insurance company, but it's built into your annual costs for that annuity.
That's kind of more of a back-end kind of fee.
It is a back end. It's kind of a loaded over the period of time that you keep the investment. Mutual funds, there's at least two, sometimes three ways you can pay fees for mutual funds. You can pay a sales fee at the when you buy the mutual fund. You're not going to pay a fee on the way out, though there are sometimes transaction fees, but those are minimal. There are some classes of mutual funds where you don't pay a sales fee unless you sell the fund within, say, a year, in which case that sales fee is just 1%. You say, well, you know, why should I pay 5% for a mutual fund when I can pay 1% or 0%? Mm-hmm. Because the annual charges for no-load funds or for C-shares, which are the funds that you don't pay sales charges for, those annual charges tend to be a bit higher. And as a result, if you're going to invest and hold on to those funds for a decent period of time, and you know, you normally see 8, 7, 8, 9-year break-evens, then you're probably better off paying the sales charge up front. If, on the other hand, you know, you don't know how long you're going to keep the investment, then why pay a sales charge for it?
Shelley Fishman is with us, our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. We're going to wrap this up very shortly. But, Shelley, for people who have been listening to you, they like what they hear. This guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. I can assure them he does. The best way to reach you.
You know, just go to the BuckmasterShow.com website and find the link to me. And that's the best way to link to me.
That will get you to Shelley, and then Shelley will get back to you.
Absolutely.
Shelley, thanks. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Russian President Vladimir Putin says a plan for Syria to turn over its chemical weapons stockpile will only work if the U.S. agrees not to use force. Meanwhile, the Syrian foreign minister says President Bashar Assad's regime will declare its chemical weapons arsenal and sign the International Chemical Weapons Convention. Thousands of volunteers plan to honor 9/11 victims tomorrow with good deeds performed all around the world. Apple says it will release two new iPhone designs later in the year, one that comes in five colors and one that can read a fingerprint. Apple unveiled the new designs today at an event at its California headquarters. The Dow's up 116 points, the NASDAQ ahead 21. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Well, 12:34 on the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The Pick-A-Mania Festival. It's a bluegrass folks root folk roots Americana festival, offers a weekend's worth of free music in Silver City. It's coming up this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. Silver City, only three and a half hours east of Tucson. Check it out for an entirely different kind of weekend experience. You can stay at many really nice places, including Axel Canyon Preserve, Bear Paw Ranch, and Silver City KOA. Find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, on their fine website, Southwest New Mexico. That's spelled out, southwestnewmexico.org. The Catalina Foothills School District Governing Board will be asking voters in November to extend a pair of budget overrides, which would add about $3 million each to the district's budget. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is the superintendent of the Catalina Foothills School District, Dr. Mary Kammerzell. Dr. Kammerzell, thank you very much for being with us.
I appreciate the invitation, Bill. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about why these overrides are being put before the voters.
These overrides actually have been part of our budget baseline for almost 20 years. Arizona is what's called an equalization state. Basically, school districts have a prescribed budget capacity based on their enrollment times a certain amount of dollars per child. And when this particular state funding system was put together back in the 80s, into law, Arizona legislators also put a provision for local voters to add dollars to that baseline. And one of them is called a 10% budget override for kindergarten through 12th grade, and one used to be called a K through 3 budget override, roughly around up to 5%. When those laws went into effect, we asked our voters back then if they would support that kind of local support that adds value of dollars to our budget. And ever since then, we have been going back to our community when it's appropriate and timely to ask if they're willing to continue them. They have a 7-year life, and in the 6th and 7th years of that life, they start to phase out. So no surprise, it's in the 5th year, at least, where we ask voters again whether they would continue these dollars locally generated through our tax base. So we are in the 5th year now, and going back on November 5th to ask if our voters will keep them going.
Will these overrides, in effect, prevent staff and budget cuts?
Well, we haven't put together a list of things that equal $3 million as far as cuts. But safe to say, in our business, the only way to find that kind of money is to eliminate programs that have people attached to them. So, yes, that would be staff. Or restructure our class sizes of students. And then, of course, reduce administrative costs, which absolutely would have to be in the mix, in my opinion. I mean, we'd look at everything. But, yes, I think to find $3 million, it's absolutely safe to say we would be touching pretty much everything that our community values.
Dr. Kammerzell is with us. She is the superintendent of the Catalina Foothills School District, a district that many times the media overlooks for one reason or another. It doesn't get as much publicity as, say, TUSD, and maybe that's a very good thing, Superintendent. But tell us a little bit about the district. How are you doing financially right now?
Well, we are like every other school district in the state that has realized almost a 21% reduction in funding since 2008. So I think it's safe to say, like every other school district, those challenges associated with trying to find 20-some percent of what was original funding. So 5 years ago, we had fewer students and a budget that was $5 million higher than it is today. It's, you know, we're doing what we need to do. But over those 5 years, class sizes have increased. Nonetheless, we've also added some programs that attract students from around the area. So in our particular place, thanks to open enrollment and that program in the state, and frankly, some of the other local school districts opening their doors, if you will, to allowing students to go just pretty much anywhere the families choose, we've been able to maintain our enrollment right at about 5,000, and that's very important to us because that is basically the nut to crack, I say, to keep our schools operating efficiently, because there's just a baseline cost for keeping schools open, regardless if you have 300 kids in that school or 600. So we're always trying to optimize our enrollment, and we're doing a pretty good job, I think.
Superintendent Camerzell, how are the kids doing academically in your district?
Our students are doing very well academically by certainly the standards that the state puts forth, but we also are pretty dedicated to extending beyond the boundaries not only of our district but the state to other places to compare our performance against others as well, that are similar demographically and certainly a community that expects high academic performance of students. So most of our students are going on to college. And so, you know, safe to say because of that, we're very tuned into what it is to prepare them well. And we want to take a look at our peers that are doing that well and obviously learn from them if we can. It's not just comparing. It's trying to figure out what it is we can be doing to improve our performance, which means supporting our students.
And how many schools do you have in your portfolio?
We have 8 schools, pre-kindergarten, which is an early learning center serving our children 3 through 5 year olds, roughly, and then 4 elementary schools, kindergarten through 5th grade is the grade configuration, 2 middle schools, and then 1 single high school.
Is there a need for another school there in the district?
You know, I don't see in the near future, so I'm, you know, projecting out in my mind maybe 5 years that we will be growing to the extent that we would build or start new construction on a facility. We do have capacity, even though I talk about the 5,000 student goal, we have capacity to add more students to one elementary particularly, and our high school could keep growing. It's at about 1,700 students, but you can do some restructuring. So my point is I think we have some places where we could grow without having to add facilities.
I live in the Foothills area and drive by the high school often, and I see always activities for the public that at your auditorium and theater. Do you try to include the Foothills community in some of the activities?
Yeah, we believe our schools are owned by the community. Rightfully so, that's our conclusion. And, you know, actually in the Foothills, probably our fields, playgrounds, et cetera, and all of the land not only around the high school, that's being used for activities by our students is also being used by the community members on the weekends, at night, et cetera. So they really are the parks and rec, if you will, of the Foothills area. And performing arts, like you've mentioned, theater productions, musical productions, et cetera. We love to have community participation, of course, and they are coming out to support us. But to the extent that our facilities can be used and are available for community use, that's important, too. So you're right. When you drive by the high school, no matter what time of the day, it is hopping. So it's really kind of a 24/7 site.
And we've only got a few seconds left, but getting back to the two overrides, you'll be using, the Foothills District will be using the traditional polling sites. Is that correct?
We will have fewer polling sites, but yes, our schools will be used as polling sites, except for the high school. And then I believe there are 3 other community locations, Junior League, there is a church, the Catholic Church on Valley View, And I think there's one other site east, but that will all be spelled out in the voter pamphlet, as well as mailings to individual voters to let them know exactly where they will be voting.
Superintendent Mary Kamerzell, thank you very much for sharing with our listeners on the Buckmaster Show what's going on in the Catalina Foothills School District. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for giving me this time.
Thanks a lot. Mary Kamerzell, she is the superintendent, Dr. Kamerzell, in the Catalina Foothills School District. It's the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report. Margaret Regan normally with us. Margaret is back east accepting an award, so we have Margaret's boss, the editor of the Tucson Weekly, Dan Gibson, waiting in the wings to come in and tell us what's going on in the Arts Report. That's coming up next.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This week's Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by our friends at Fox Tucson Theater, where the fall season is in full swing, bringing cultural arts, concerts, and comedy to the historic Fox Theater stage. See the Zombies. That's a name from the past. On Sunday, September the 15th, known for their hits, of course, She's Not There and Time of the Season, the Zombies album Odyssey and Oracle is honored, ranked actually number 80 on Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. To view the full Fox Theater schedule, to purchase tickets to see The Zombies, led by Rod Argent and Colin Blundstone, call 547-3040 or visit foxtucson.com. Dan Gibson, editor of the Tucson Weekly, is with me in studio. He has agreed to come in, and we're glad he did. Margaret Regan, who normally does our every other Tuesday arts report, I guess, Dan, she was back. I read in the Weekly.
Yes.
She's back east in Massachusetts getting an award.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the award, but she's definitely earned it. I mean,
for her border
exactly for her border reporting,
her book about the border and everything.
And she's getting about to sneeze, so I'm trying to hold that off. Okay. Arizona Newspaper Awards.
You can sneeze on the radio. There you go.
Poor timing. It's these allergies.
The mics are directional enough that your sneeze hopefully
oh, thank goodness.
Wasn't
I didn't,
carried full on.
I didn't wreck your transmitter.
No.
Okay.
Margaret did have a story. Actually, it's up in the Current Weekly.
Yes.
About Tom Philibom. Of course, Tom is kind of the master of the glass art in this community, Philibom Glass Gallery downtown. Tom's showing off, I guess, a brand new form of glass art.
Yeah, he's doing something you'd think. Tom Philibom could probably rest on his laurels at this point, just making pretty things for the rest of his time as an artist. But he's actually come up with this new thing. It's essentially like a sandwiching of glass between each other, using iron and these different metals to create this all new style. And he's showing that off at his own studio and at another show coming up this week, and it's having seen it, it's beautiful stuff, and it's just this like it's a very different way of presenting glass than
kind
what
of
he's
an,
done.
I guess he's best known for kind of 3D glass sculptures,
right. And this is more of a 2D sort of look, but it's got a depth to it that sort of is beyond what you would expect from like a stained glass or from other glass art.
And if folks would like to check that out, that's Fused Glass Collage Paintings by Tom Philibom, and that is up at the Philibom Glass Studio Tuesday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that will be up actually through Wednesday, September the 25th. And here's the good news, Dan, it's free.
Right. You can't beat that.
Yeah, you can't beat that. And if folks wonder if you've not been to the Glass Gallery and Studio, it's a fun place to visit. 711 South 6th Avenue. Current issue of the Weekly, which current meaning it will be online sometime.
Wednesday, tomorrow. Yeah. Sometime.
I usually check by about, depending on, I guess, how things are going.
It depends on how the day, just, you know.
Between 5 and, say, 5 and 8.
We're going to move that up. tomorrow, probably still around then. The week after, we should get sooner. But it encourages you to go pick up like a physical copy. Enjoy the print in your hands. I'll tell you this. You want an exclusive,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Buckmaster?
Please.
Okay. This
Break
week.
Right here on the Buckmaster Show.
Our cover story this week.
Okay.
An exclusive mm-hmm. excerpt mm-hmm. from the Linda Ronstadt memoir, which will not be on stands for another
Ooh.
Week. We have an excerpt from the story. We have an intro from Dan Buckley, noted Tucson
yes.
writer, about why Linda Ronstadt matters to Tucson, and
wow.
then a section from her book and photos. And so that's a exclusive to you.
Thank you so
much. And then
to
the reader. So yes. look for it tomorrow.
So this is an excerpt from the book that's coming out, or is it from the interview that she did?
It's from her memoir.
From the memoir.
Yeah, from her memoir, Simple Dreams, which comes out, I think, the Tuesday following. But we'll have it first. So it's a history of her time in Tucson, talking about how she grew up in around music and about her life in music. And so our excerpt ends with her moving to Los Angeles to be a part of the music scene out there. So I think it's a great excerpt, and you know, we try to provide something to the reader. So it's a new thing for us. We haven't done a lot of book excerpts in the past. But
well, I think that's very apropos, very timely. Being a child of the '60s, I'm always interested in learning about some of Linda's early days.
Right, exactly.
Going back to the Stone Ponies,
which she talks about.
Our intro to the art segment was talking about a group you probably don't know much about.
No,
lot younger than Mr. Buckmaster here, but the Zombies, actually, that sounds like a show I think I would like to attend.
You should. I saw the Zombies last year in Phoenix. They got back together maybe like 3 or 4 years ago and started making music again. But They do some of their post-zombie stuff. Colin Blunstone had an album, a couple albums out that was sort of soft rockish type thing. And then Argent, Rod Argent was in the band Argent with Hold Your Head Up and some other big hits for him. And so it's like, they're a solid real rock band still, you know? Like, yeah. My favorite zombie song, and they performed it when I saw him in Phoenix, was Care of Cell 44, a touching song about a man writing to his wife or his girlfriend getting out of prison. It's a beautiful song.
I saw the Zombies a long time ago in 1965 in a kind of English Mercy Beat kind of show. Jerry and the Pacemakers or a bunch of other groups at McCormick Place in Chicago in the summer of 65. But it's interesting. Their Rolling Stone, I was mentioning that their album, one of the 500 greatest albums, I was just doing a check of that actually last night online because my all-time favorite Elton John album, the best album Elton John ever did, Tumbleweed Connection.
Oh, no, that's true. I would agree with you. It is the best.
And the guy who produced it and arranged it happens to have my surname, a guy by the name of Paul Buckmaster.
Oh.
You know, there's like about 2,000 Buckmaster families in North America. And Paul Buckmaster's from our English.
See, there
heritage.
You go.
But he did a really beautiful job with Tumbleweed Connection. Anyway.
Elton John not coming, but no. The Zombies.
No, Zombies are coming, to the Fox.
And the opening act is a member of the Zombie Sons group.
Really?
So, yeah, I'll give that bonus to you. No, and they're actually really good too. Same sort of like Brit popish 60s psychedelic feel. Solid show all the way through. Don't show up late.
Yep.
So you want to catch that opening act too.
Best Bob Dylan album, Tangled Up in Blue. Some might say Blonde on Blonde, but let's move on to other things coming up. Shifted Shakespeare is the title of the feature arts piece in The Weekly, which again will be online sometime tomorrow night. And you can get a hard copy certainly by Thursday. Who did this piece and what's it about? Obviously, it's about Shakespeare.
Well, it's about Shakespeare-ish. M. Scott Skinner, who is a noted Tucson writer, worked with The Citizen, The Star, everywhere, just started writing for us and did a great job. It's Beowulf Alley, which is the theater downtown on 6th Street. They're doing two shows in repertory. I think that's the term. Margaret will probably hear this and yell at me for saying that wrong. But so they're doing a show, Desdemona, which is based on Othello, and then Macbeth's Knife, and they're doing them back and forth every other night. So they're sort of like abbreviated takes on these Shakespeare plays, sort of adding a modernity to them. Scott preferred the Desdemona one to Macbeth, but they're both solid shows and just sort of an interesting take on these familiar stories, just contextualizing them sort of for a modern audience. And both of them are pretty interesting shows.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually quite a few Shakespeare presentations. The perennial favorite Shakespeare, the common denominator this fall. He's represented on 5 local stages.
People love Shakespeare.
Though one will actually be in a field in Himmel Park for the 7th annual Shakespeare in the Park. The Merry Wives of Windsor will be performed outdoor amphitheater at the bottom of Hippie Hill.
Sure.
Everybody
knows that.
Hippie Hill, and that goes September 20th through October 6th. Did Hippie Hill get its name from when I was back and at the U of A in the late 60s and all of us kind of hippie types used to hang out.
Is there listening to Zombies records?
We used to hang out a lot, actually, over at Himmel Park.
See?
And I guess maybe that's kind of where
it carries through, you know. Go there on Sundays. You can hang out at Hippie Hill, get yourself some food truck stuff.
There you go. It's our other Tuesday Arts Report. Dan Gibson, editor of the Tucson Weekly, is with us. Also, by the way, presented by Fox Tucson Theater. We also have the biennial continuing, Dan, at the Tucson Museum of Art. That's going to be up through kind of late September.
Yeah, you got some time. But
and there's going to be an event, a biennial bash on Sunday, September 29th. This should be fun. An exhibition artist, Daniel Martin Diaz, and his band Blind Divine.
They're great.
We'll play live music. There'll be a silent auction. And so that's going to be fun to kind of wrap up the biennial. I know you have hang out a little bit downtown.
I've been known to.
It's nice to have the Rialto Rialto, excuse me, and the Fox kind of bookending downtown, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice – I mean, I was telling a friend of mine, we were talking about – they were making the contention that nothing was happening downtown. I said, well, you're wrong. I mean, you got to this point where there's nearly something – there's happening – things happening up and down the street all the time between Sacred Machine Gallery, which is Danny Martin Diaz's place. You know, Playground has music. Congress has things going on. You know, there's – you can go downtown now and actually just sort of be there and something will – happen for you. You can find something to do, somewhere to go. And that's a real change for our community. And I think it's a net positive. You know, there's now 12 places to eat and multiple arts things to do, and you can go see galleries and all this stuff. I'm excited. I have a interest in this city, obviously, by living here and being a part of a publication, but I'm optimistic. I'm bully on the city.
Okay, Dan Gibson, editor of the Tucson Weekly. Dan, we really appreciate you being with us. Dan will be with us actually 2 weeks from today, and Margaret will be back with us in early October. And we'll look forward to that cover story about Linda Ronstadt in this week's Weekly.
Breaking news.
This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Kenny Loggins on September 26th. Singer, songwriter, guitarist, multiple Grammy winner, Loggins has been using his music to connect with people for three decades, originally emerging as half of the very popular country rock duo Loggins and Messina. Do you remember that, Dan Gibson?
Your mama don't dance.
Kenny Loggins enjoys continued success in his solo career with hits like Whenever I Call Your Name, I'm All Right, Footloose, This Is It, and Danger Zone.
To view, he was on it. So a lot of hits.
Yes, to view the full Fox Tucson Theater lineup and check out part of the excitement with Kenny Loggins on stage September 26th, call 547-3040 or visit foxtucson.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. John C. Scott this afternoon, 3 to 5 here on KVOI. And then Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe tomorrow morning. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.